what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. You know, I think about the verse often in Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, rejoicing is a matter of the will. It doesn't have to do with circumstances. All of us would say, you know, it's much easier to rejoice when everything's coming up roses, but when everything falls apart, how do you rejoice? You do it by an act of the will. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, when he talks about disaster, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And that is part of growing in our relationship with Jesus, when we can experience the disasters in life and still choose to rejoice. So Habakkuk ends his book, and just to quote him verbatim, he says these words. Let me get it in the version I'm most familiar with, the New American Standard. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. I mean, he's talking about just disaster and devastation. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. Well, we've been following the devastating floods in North Carolina, and I have vested interest personally in North Carolina. My son-in-law is from North Carolina, and he owns two Airbnbs there, minor compared to what else is going on, but still, you know, it's like minor surgery. Minor surgery is for the person other than yourself. When it happens to you, it's not minor surgery, it's major surgery. And so we've been following the devastation, and it's just heartbreaking. And, you know, we talked last week about the fact that leadership matters. And when we talk about this election and we elect, you know, the president, the vice president, we elect senators, we elect people in positions of authority and positions of governmental power, leadership matters, especially at the presidential level. I mean, the president is the person that's the leader of the free world, and you have to have abilities to do that. Now, I am one that believes that running for president is a different skill set than actually being the president. Some people are really good at running for president, but they're not good at being the president. They're not good at doing the job. It was said, I think, years ago about Bill Clinton. You know, he was great at running for president. He didn't really like the job because the job is not necessarily a lot of fun. You know, you're dealing with lots of committee meetings and meeting this person and that person, the other person. You're wading through lots of information. You're sitting with counselors and going through, you know, different opinions on this, that, and the other, and you have to make a decision. But here's the thing. When everything is smooth sailing, you don't have to be very skilled to navigate the ship. You think of a big cruise liner. You know, everything is smooth waters. Hey, steering the ship is no big deal. When the storms come and when the waters get very, very choppy and turbulent, then it matters. Your decisions matter because, hey, this we could capsize if you make the wrong decision. Now, I am greatly impressed by Governor Ron DeSantis. You know, he's the governor of Florida. Florida got hammered by Hurricane Helene. He's prepared for it. He's got things in place for it. I saw a interview with him just yesterday, and he was saying, hey, in Florida, we got things under control here. He said the federal response doesn't need to be in Florida right now. It needs to be in North Carolina, because North Carolina is just devastated. And I saw a interview with a man, Zach Dasher. He lives in Swannanoa, North Carolina, which is just a little bit a few miles from Asheville, North Carolina. And he said, you know, our town is just decimated. He said it's going to take years to recover. I saw something online that said the Swannanoa River is usually 2 feet deep and 10 feet wide. And he said, and they said that with all the rain, it went from 2 feet to 26.6 feet, and it was a mile wide. And it just, according to Zach Dasher, it didn't just flood buildings, it washed the buildings away and the ground away that the buildings were affixed to. And he says it's going to take years for us to recover. It is a devastation beyond anything that our minds can imagine. If you've watched the videos, you're like, what are these people going to do? And you know, I mean, we talk about having insurance. Most people don't have flood insurance. You live in Western North Carolina, you're not thinking that the floods are going to come. You know, you live on the coast, that's a different ball game, but they don't. And so the federal aid that is needed is going to be massive. The amount of money that's going to be spent by insurance companies on something like this is going to be massive. And you know, you ask yourself the question, how long can insurance companies survive paying out these huge settlements? Eventually, you know, you don't have just a drawer of unlimited supply of money. Eventually, things, you know, you say no mas, no mas, like Roberto Duran. I can't do this anymore. Now, there is, I shared this yesterday, and it bears repeating, and I didn't share this passage of Scripture, but I was thinking about it this morning. From the book of Amos, the Lord says this, Amos chapter 4, verse 6, "But I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities," meaning you didn't have food, "and lack of bread in all your places, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. And furthermore, I withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months until harvest. Then I would send rain one on one city, and on another city I would not send rain. One part would be rained on, while the part not rained on would dry up." Now, they're farmers, and you know, getting too much water is a problem. Getting no water is a big problem. "So two or three cities would stagger to another city to drink water, but would not be satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I smote you with scorching wind and mildew, and the caterpillar was devouring your many gardens and vineyards, fig trees and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord." I mean, why is God doing all these things? Why is he allowing all this stuff to get his people to return to him? He says in verse 10, "I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword along with your captured horses, and I made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you are like a firebrand snatched from a blaze. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I shall do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Very famous verse, Amos chapter 4, verse 12. But it, all leading up to that, God is saying, hey, I brought disaster on you, and you didn't respond to me. We talked about that yesterday. What are we supposed to glean from these things, these terrible natural disasters that come? God is over all the storms. God is over all the natural disasters. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground except by my Father, Jesus said. God's in control. If you have a worldview where God's not in control, where the devil's in control or no one's in control, that's a faulty worldview. Now, the idea that God is anything less than good is unbiblical. The Lord is good. Truly, He is good. Truly, His loving kindness is everlasting. God allows things to come into our lives, not because He's mean and cruel and wants to, make us squirm like a worm in hot ashes. God does that to get our attention, to get us to return to Him. Listen, everybody goes through difficulties and problems. Job chapter 14, verse 1, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble. And you have trouble, I have trouble. The people in North Carolina have tons of trouble right now. I mean, the most trouble, arguably, than they've ever had in their whole lives. What do we do in trouble? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so in all the disasters, it's an opportunity for God's people to shine and share, to show up, stand up, speak up, put faith into action. Faith without works is dead, being by itself. And so Zach Dasher is a Christian. He was interviewed. He's obviously a believer, as he was talking about his church is doing this, that, and the other to help people. And we need to be involved. We need to look and see where we can help, as far as maybe you can volunteer and go there. Maybe you can send some money. He talked about blackmountainhome.com is a Christian ministry there. His church, the swan.church, is doing some great things. If you send money to the federal government to help, I wouldn't advise that, but send it to a Christian organization that's going to use that money to the full and really help people. I would advise doing that. So just a devastating thing, but it's a wake-up call to us. And you and I may be high and dry right now, but the storms are coming our way too. And so we need to pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering. And we need to just know this is a time to pray, and this is a time to remember that, hey, God uses these things to get our attention. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, are you suffering right now? Suffering with health problems, with financial problems, with storm problems, with wayward son or daughter problems, with marriage problems. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Suffering is part of the deal. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have problems. You're going to have people come after you. The word pursue in the Greek means to pursue. They were always pursuing Jesus, coming after Jesus, watching what He did, ready to pounce on Him. And that's what they're going to do to a Christian. And so we don't like suffering. But suffering is part of the deal. And the scripture says about Jesus, though He was a son, He learned obedience through the things that He suffered. If we're going to follow Christ, you follow Christ and you're going to experience suffering. You're going to experience difficulties. You're going to experience problems. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I've called you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. And we are going to be opposed by the world. We're going to be opposed by the devil. And we are opposed by the flesh, that internal foe that wants to take over and wants us to go in the direction of our sinful desires. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, that we are to walk by the Spirit. so that we would not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have also forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Hey, we're at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we know that Jesus gives the victory as we fix our eyes on Him. And He is our refuge and strength. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we are up against a break, but we'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the importance of leadership, especially in the wake of disasters and troubles and problems and difficulties that are kind of outside of the norm. And Hurricane Helene has done so much damage. And in the wake of that, not only do you have all this devastation, but you've probably read about the dock worker strike. And that is going to cause a lot of problems, and they are not able to come to an agreement, so they've walked off, the dock workers. It's shut down 36 major ports responsible for about half of our imports, and they're saying that that could cost us about $5 billion per day. And that's a big, big issue. Now, Gina Raimondo, who is the Commerce Secretary, she was asked about it, and she says, "Well, I'm not really focused on that right now." Well, it seems like, as was pointed out by the interviewer after they finished their discussion with her, seems like that would be a big thing on your agenda, since that's your job to be focused on commerce. And well, I'm not really focused on that right now. Hey, leadership matters, and it's especially seen and evidenced in a crisis, in a problem, in a difficulty. As I said, when everything's smooth sailing, anybody can navigate the ship. But when there are storms and when there are choppy waters and then when there are perilous times, that's when the leader rises to the top, the strong leader, and the poor leader is exposed as a poor leader who doesn't know what he or she is doing. Now, we refer back to this verse often on this program, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, about the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. As we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, we need to be people who understand the times. We need to view things through the lens of Scripture. We have a biblical worldview. We don't view the Bible through the lens of circumstances and through the lens of culture. We view circumstances and culture through the lens of Scripture. But you need to know the times. You need to know what's going on. We don't need to be in the dark. Oh, I didn't know about this. I didn't know about that. I didn't know about the other. I was watching this morning a clip from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., JFK Jr., and he was talking about, he had his Make America Healthy Again. You know, he's big into health, and if you've seen him working out, he's amazing. I don't know what that guy is taking, but for a man of his age, he's very, very strong and lifts weights and stays in good shape. Well, he was talking about the things that we have going on in our country, and I'm going to play this clip, and then I'll break it, and we'll talk about it as we go along. But this was, I thought, was excellent, and as he talks through the issues of our day.
And this week, Hillary Clinton, Tim Walz, and Kamala Harris all said the same thing. They said that if the Democrats get back into office, that they are going to make sure that misinformation and disinformation is censored. They said that the First Amendment, they were specifically talking about Elon Musk, and they said that they were going to teach him that the First Amendment is a privilege, not a right.
Well, that was RFK Jr. And said the First Amendment is a privilege, not a right, according to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Well, that's not true. That's in the amendments to the Constitution. And we have freedom of speech. The First Amendment protects the right to free speech. Freedom of the press. The First Amendment protects the right to free press. Freedom of religion. The First Amendment protects the right to the free exercise of religion. Freedom of assembly. The First Amendment protects the right to peacefully assemble. Doesn't protect the right to riot and loot and destroy, but to peacefully assemble. And the right to petition. The First Amendment protects the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And James Madison was the primary author of the First Amendment and was a champion of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of religion. Well, that is not a privilege that the government gives to us. That is something that is built into the Constitution that our founding fathers gave to us as they wrote the Constitution through prayer and through the study of Scripture. And we know that even a man like Benjamin Franklin, who was not a born-again believer, but he understood the power of prayer, and he said, hey, we need to pray, as they were meeting the Continental Congress. And he said, hey, guys, they were at an impasse. We need to pray. If we think we can do this on our own, we're mistaken. Unless the Lord builds the house, he quoted from Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So we know that the First Amendment rights come, they're in the Constitution, and they come from God. And so this idea that it's a privilege, not a right, is a major shift in the thinking. And Americans need to recognize, hey, that's wrong. You don't give us this privilege and then you can take this privilege away. We have this privilege as Americans, and it's built into the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Now he goes on and talks about this.
Who was the biggest perpetrator? We now know, and everybody admits, who was the biggest perpetrator of misinformation during the pandemic?
Fauci!
Did you say Anthony Fauci?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the government of the United States. So we don't want the government, we don't want to give the government power to censor other people's misinformation while it perpetrates its own, do we?
So that was RFK Jr. saying, you know, this idea that you can lose your First Amendment rights because it's a privilege, it's not a right, which is not correct, but that the government should be the one to tell you what is true and what is not. And so we can't have somebody like an Elon Musk and the platform that he bought, social media platform, formerly known as Twitter, now known as X, we can't allow that to go on. And, you know, during the pandemic, as some people have called it, the plandemic, you know, people were considered conspiracy theorists. You're a wacko. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're saying that this coronavirus was concocted in a lab in China. Remember, Trump got in a lot of trouble because he called it the Chinese coronavirus. They said, why are you calling it the Chinese coronavirus? He said, because it came from China. That's why I did that. Well, they were trying to tell us that it came from a wet market, that it came from bats. And even a liberal like John Stewart said, well, obviously there's a lab in Wuhan, China that is a coronavirus lab. And why would we not think that it came from there? That's what it's called. And to think that it came from a wet market is just ridiculous. You're just believing a lie. And you see this stuff unfolding. And let me encourage you to read the little short novel by George Orwell called Animal Farm, because he spells out exactly what is happening in our country as the left is wanting to take over, wanting bigger government, wanting to gain all the power. And you say, well, I don't think that's happening. It is happening. It's happening right before our eyes. And listen to what RFK says about the shifting wealth.
This did a terrible, terrible blow to our country. And what was the point of it all? Well, we look at what the outcome was. And the outcome was that they shifted. They closed all of the small business in this country. 41% of black-owned businesses will never reopen. They shifted money upward. They strengthened these big tech institutions like Amazon and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Google. And they weakened Main Street and small business and the American worker. And they shifted $4.3 trillion from the American middle class to this new oligarchy of billionaires, which is the biggest outcome, the biggest shift in world history of wealth. And they shifted power. We gave our government all these new powers.
So that is the end game, power. And so we take money from the middle class and we give it to, as he said, the bigger, you know, the Amazons. Amazon grew like crazy during the pandemic when everything was shut down. You couldn't operate your small business, but they could operate. And, you know, Facebook and Google and all these companies just gained so much wealth, and the middle class was crushed. And you can't have a middle class if you're going to have this this socialistic system. The middle class doesn't work. And those who trust God, walk with God, say with the apostles, whether it's right in the sight of God to obey you or to obey the Lord, you be the judge. We cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. So you have to get just people that will blindly follow and blindly obey and say, okay, we will trust you, government, big government, because we know that you would never lie to us. Listen, if you haven't had your eyes open to the fact that big government lies, and they lie often, big government, big pharma, mainstream media, they're liars. And their lies have been paraded around for all to see. Hey, they lied about this, just like the you know, wet market bat theory. Well, that was a lie. Well, Fauci was the one that was going back and forth with that. He knew exactly where the coronavirus came from. Came from the lab in Wuhan. It was a planned thing. It wasn't a natural thing. It was planned. And it killed many, many people. And then the vaccine came out, and the vaccine was responsible for causing all kinds of problems. I ran across this. I thought it was very interesting. It was from, let's see, it was from Dr. Pierre Corey. He said this, and I quote, "Millions are dead across the world from these vaccines." The COVID vaccine. Just in his own private practice, Dr. Corey has seen almost 1,500 patients, quote, who are now disabled and suffering after taking the COVID shots. For every 800 injections administered, Dennis Rancourt has found that one vaccine-related death occurs. This is 1 in 800. This 1 in 800 number becomes even more alarming when you consider how many doses were given. At the time of Rancourt and colleagues' report, 13.5 billion COVID-19 injections were administered. Divide that number by 800, and you end up with approximately 17 million COVID-19 vaccine-related deaths. And so, hey, we build this virus to cause problems with the population of the world, and they've said, John Kerry, Bill Gates, they've said, hey, we have too many people. We want to reduce the population. Well, that's one way to do it. You release a virus, and then you have the quote-unquote vaccine to help you with the virus, and the vaccine ends up killing people. It's just a sick, sick situation. And one last tidbit from RFK. I thought it was interesting.
And I want you all to remember three things. Three rules. One is, that when you give a government a power, it will never voluntarily relinquish it. Second rule, that if you give him a government a power, it will ultimately abuse that power to the maximum extent possible. And the third rule is that nobody ever complied their way out of totalitarianism.
So Bishop E.W. Jackson said, listen, you can vote your way into totalitarianism, into socialism, communism. You can vote your way into that. And people are going, no doubt, this November, they're going to vote for a candidate who is very socialistic. You can vote your way in, but you can't vote your way out. You can't say, well, I don't like that anymore. You have to shoot your way out. There has to be a revolution when people are going to die in that situation. There's going to, that would create a war because they're not going to release power. Once they get power, the government doesn't relinquish power. And, you know, Hitler got elected by, I guess, fair means. He got elected in a vote. But once he was elected and once he was entrenched in power, then, hey, I'm the Führer. And there are no more elections. And that is sadly the direction we're going in unless we do an about face. And that's why this election is so important. I saw where Elon Musk said, if we vote wrongly in 2024, he said, I don't believe that we're going to have another election in America. And you say, well, that's, you know, that's just being hyperbolic and bombastic and all those kind of terms. But I think he's right, because I think that we are being led along, as God allows and lets down the hedge, we're being led along by the prince of the power of the air. He's pushing everything to a one world government and to a one world leader known as the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, who will be Satan in the flesh. But the good news for believers is the Bible teaches, I believe this with all my heart, the Bible teaches that the rapture of the church is right around the corner, and the Lord will rapture his people out. He's not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are opening up the phone lines. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And as we've been talking about what's going on and how we quoted or played the clips from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he has a terrible view when it comes to abortion. He is pro-abortion, and we are pro-life, and life begins at conception, and we need to protect and do all we can to protect the life of the baby. But RFK does have some some right views regarding what's going on in our country, and he recognizes that there is a power play to take over, and the coronavirus and COVID and the lockdowns and all that took place, as people call it a pandemic and some call it a plandemic. I think it was planned, and I think that that was used to, it was kind of a trial run, see how much power we can take, see how much people will give up their liberties, they'll stay locked up, they'll wear a mask, which is ridiculous, that the mask did nothing. It just, anybody that was wearing a mask just said, well, I haven't done my homework, I've just believed the propaganda. The 6 feet distancing thing, I saw Fauci said, well, you know, there wasn't really any science behind that. We just kind of made that up. It's horrific what has been perpetrated on the American people. But we need to be smart enough that says, hey, the emperor has no clothes. We're not going to go along with this and ooh and ah over the emperor's new suit when, as in the story by Hans Christian Andersen, a little boy said, hey, he's not wearing anything. And we need to be able to call out what we see, speak the truth in love, even if it's not popular, and it won't be popular, but we need to tell the truth to people. And if that means we become conspiracy theorists, you know, it's funny about these conspiracy theorists, almost everything that they reported is true. And what did the government say? Well, you're giving misinformation. No, they weren't. They were giving right information. Now, there's a cost to that. And the frontline doctors were stripped of their license to practice medicine, but they were giving people the truth concerning the COVID vaccine, concerning COVID in general, and concerning what to do if you got COVID. And the idea of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and zinc, those products that were relatively cheap and at one time readily available, were the way to go, and not what we were being told. And you know that something is rotten in Denmark when they take a drug like ivermectin that's been around for a long, long time, and all of a sudden they say, well, that will cure the problem. That will address the problem. You take it early enough, and then they make it almost impossible to get, or very, very difficult to get. Something is not right with that. Well, I heard part of a message that Ben Carson gave when he was at First Baptist Dallas, and he was talking about these same kinds of issues, and he was saying one of the things that you'll notice, to take over a nation, you have to dumb down that nation. You have to work on the kids to keep them in the dark, so to speak, so they don't know their history, so they don't know what has happened, they don't know the Constitution. Later this week, we're going to play a program that I taped with Bishop E.W. Jackson. He said when he went to Harvard Law School, he said, you would think they would have us read the United States Constitution, but they didn't. He said, we discussed the Constitution, but we never really just read the Constitution. Well, that just seems like, you know, law school 101, but they didn't do it. Well, here is Will Witt. I wanted to play this for you. It's Will Witt doing the Prager University on, you know, man on the street type thing, asking people basic questions. This is just a few of them. These are college students. And this is what was reported.
You're a history major?
I am.
Okay. Who's the 16th president?
Yeah, no idea.
When was the Declaration of Independence signed?
Declaration of Independence, 1773.
76. When did World War II end?
52.
45. You're a history major?
I am.
When was the Declaration of Independence signed?
It was 19-something.
Close.
1904? 01?
1776.
That was not close.
No, it was not close, but that's okay.
That's just a little snippet of asking people basic questions about our American history. They don't know it. And they're not even close to it. And you're a history major. That was a college student who was a history major. The other one was not a college student. She was an older adult. But doesn't know anything. And it's like, good night. What do they teach you in school? You don't even know when the Declaration of Independence was signed. You don't know when World War II ended. You know, those seem to be pretty basic. But the dumbing down is important, and Ben Carson pointed that out. You have to dumb down the people, and we know the Gen Zers know a whole lot more about the Kardashians than they do about the United States Constitution and the history of America. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Uh-oh, we have a problem with Frank. We'll work on that. So I want to encourage you to, next time you're in the car and you're going to be in for a while, go to YouTube and listen to Animal Farm. You can read it fairly quick. It's not a very long thing, but you can listen to it. I think it's 3 hours long when they read it to you. But you will be amazed at how George Orwell had such insight into what would take place in America. And it's just falling in line. This is the devil's playbook that was given to the communists, and they go by it. Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, as he gives praise to Lucifer, the first rebel. It's just straight out of hell. And this is how you overthrow a society. This is how you destroy a society and gain power. And this idea that we're building this utopia for the masses. It's never been that. Never been that. You look at North Korea. Is that a utopia for the masses? It's devastating for the masses. China, devastating for the masses. Venezuela, it's devastating for the masses. What's good for the masses is a capitalistic society, a free market enterprise. That's good for the masses. The Constitution of the United States of America and the framers of the Constitution, they studied all these different forms of government, and they said, this is a form of government that will be good for we the people. Well, we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. I was just calling to let you know that Abraham on the radio yesterday, she's on broadcast, and the lady that answered my call this morning, the Red Cross is not reliable like it used to be. So to give to this hurricane, I want you to let you know that I don't know if you ever heard it before, they're not like they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to, I don't know if you heard about that.
Right.
I'm just confirming that Abraham said it, that don't give to the Red Cross.
Right.
So,
yeah, I think that, you know, Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's organization does a great job. Others do great jobs. You know, we gave, when the hurricane hit in Florida a couple of years ago, Tom Askell, it affected his church and his community. Our church gave $20,000 directly to Tom's church and said, hey, you know where the needs are. Help the people in your church, help the people in your community. And we trusted him. And so finding somebody that you can trust. And I think a Samaritan's Purse has proven itself to be a ministry of disaster relief that you can trust. Southern Baptists have the SEND network the disaster relief that helps people in need. And 8 Days of Hope, they do a great job. They're partners with American Family Radio, do a great job in showing up and rolling up their sleeves and helping the people and providing resources that they need and the help that they need. So, yeah, those would be the ones that that I would recommend. So thank you for that, Frank. We have Dalton on the line from Texas. Dalton, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. My comment was basically just that the old saying goes is those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. When we're talking about individuals, I wholeheartedly agree. That's the only way we can learn from our mistakes. But as a country, I just feel like it's more or less that those who know their history are doomed to watch it repeat, because there's not a lot of convincing that can be done on a mass scale like that without some big stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, Dalton. You know, and you remember too, this is a spiritual battle. And so the devil he's a deceiver, and he blinds the minds of the unbelieving. And so they become just blindly follow what the government tells them, what the pharmaceutical companies tell them. They easily believe a lie, and they don't step back. The Bible says in Proverbs, the naive believe everything. And they don't step back and look at it and say, wait a minute, is this correct or not? Let me do my research on this. You know, just with the coronavirus vaccine, the COVID vaccine, what's in this? What's in this that you're shooting into my arm? And is this something that I should get or should I wait? You know, normally true vaccines, you have to have a lot of testing over time. The putting the vaccine on warp drive, that doesn't give it enough time. You can't test it out. You don't know what it's going to do to people in 3, 4, 5, 10 years because you didn't have that much time to test it. And so we need to, in my opinion, we need to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. And we need to know that, hey, the devil is at work. And he is the prince of the power of the air. The spirit is that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And he has people hoodwinked. And we live in an Isaiah 5:20 world. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute light for darkness and darkness for light, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to live in an upside down world. And that's the world in which we're living, where the government says, hey, don't trust your eyes, just trust what we say. Well, we need to trust our eyes. We need to trust the Lord. We need to judge with righteous judgment, as Jesus said. So, good word, Dalton. Anything else?
Oh, no. Just happy to hear from you and happy you're doing good. And we just need to pray for everybody in this country. Just wake up.
Amen. Thanks, Dalton. God bless. Thanks for listening to the program. I was listening to a sermon yesterday by Robert Jeffress, and he was talking about Christians needing to be salt and light. You know, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, and let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's why we always talk about shine and share. The shine is your life. That's how you live. The share is what comes out of your lips. And we're to do both. We're to shine. We're to live, walk in the light, and live out the testimony that Jesus Christ has changed our lives so that people can see that we are different. As the Lord says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. So that people can see, hey, you have died your old way of life. You have a brand new life in Jesus. You don't respond the way a person of the world responds. You don't speak the way they speak. You don't act the way they act. You know, I have said this often. You can tell a lot about a person, not so much by the way they act, but by the way they react. And people are watching you to see how you react to bad news, how you react to situations and frustrations and irritations. We need to trust the Lord in those times and let our light shine. And when disaster comes, as disaster has come through Hurricane Helene, people look to Christians to see, are you going to trust God even in the face of this difficulty? So we are to be light, and then we're to be salt. And what does salt do? Salt preserves. And you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So we, in ancient times, you would salt the fish and salt the meat. And that didn't eliminate corruption and the meat going bad or the fish going bad, but it kept it longer, kept it good for longer. That's our job as salt. We are in the world, not of the world, and we're here telling the truth, giving people more time, hopefully more time, before corruption comes. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.